Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL, your home for LSU baseball. Mike Dottiglio along with Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. At 5:45, we'll have our Bet 365 triple option feature. Jeff Nowak will join us. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line from Locked On SEC is also pregame host for the Houston Astros, Chris Gordy. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And I was telling Coach O this last night. We're talking about, you know, kind of memorable moments. And I was like, man, I remember sitting in the stand, you and I sitting next to one another, LSU playing Clemson for the national championship that year in 2020, early 2020. We are surrounded, and I'm talking about surrounded, by Clemson people. I mean, we're kind of one of the only couple guys there, sort of LSU, you know, LSU, Louisiana guys. And Marlon Favorite, he got a great line. He's like, Mike, I'm about 5 or 6 rows above you. I know you can take care of yourself if something broke out, but you couldn't beat up that many people. And so Coach O got a big kick out of that. But I do remember that particular night. Man, did we have Clemson people around us.
Oh, man, yeah, we were surrounded by it. I'll never forget you telling me the story. You talked to Coach O's mom and saying that the biggest thing she was worried about that night was him dropping the trophy. I thought that was really funny because he could be a little clumsy. But, I love Coach O. I mean, he'll always be a legend in South Louisiana. I'll never forget years ago getting a chance to interview him one-on-one, and after the interview he looked at me and said, Chris, I got to tell you, man, that was a really good interview. And I said, man, this guy, he's recruiting all the time. He's even recruiting reporters when you're interviewing him. So just one of the great guys.
Chris, last night was a memorable moment because of the dramatics of the ninth inning and what happened. And this baseball team, you know, somebody told me today, they texted me this, it's almost like a team of destiny. That when you win game like that, and these games against Arkansas have been really close, 4-3 the last time they played them, that, man, almost like, is this in the cards for them? And you're playing Coastal Carolina, who is a really talented team, and they got 3 outstanding pitchers. They're a really good hitting team. With a 26-game winning streak, that, man, listen, when you think about, I don't care what conference you in, when you win 26 straight games, man, you have really done something.
Well, it is pretty incredible. And then that's where, you know, if you're an LSU fan, you're just looking at going, it's Coastal Carolina. You know, we're going to beat these guys easily. You know, you're just a Sun Belt team. They are really, really good. I mean, you think about it this way, Mike. The last time Coastal Carolina lost a game, the Saints hadn't even drafted Kelvin Banks yet. I mean, this is before the NFL draft. So that's how long ago it was that they lost the game. So they've been playing great baseball, and you're right. I mean, last night it had the feelings of a team of destiny. I mean, I have some close Arkansas fans, and I just felt for them. I mean, they have heartbreak every time they get to Omaha. Dave Van Horn's always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. And, you know, I told him, too. I said, look, if you're to beat LSU, you know, I'll root for Arkansas. We want to, you know, root for the SEC to win 6 straight College World Series. But, you know, LSU's now in the driver's seat to do that. And, gosh, it's crazy, Mike. I went back and looked 2 years ago, you know, at how this thing played out. And LSU had to play that Thursday night game against Wake Forest, and they threw Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens, this is one for the, you know, next time you're at trivia, test one of your friends with this, because I forgot this. Paul Skeens didn't pitch in any of the 3 games in the College World Series final. I mean, he was warming up in the bullpen in Game 3, but they ended up not even needing him. So it couldn't set up better for LSU not having to play that game tonight, that you know, they can go Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson, your ace one and ace two on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, again, it's advantage LSU. Again, nothing against Coastal Carolina, but, Mike, I saw an MLB mock draft yesterday that had Cade Anderson going number one overall now. Coastal ain't seen a pitching staff like this yet.
Yeah, really, really impressive. And I think you got to play to your strength, to be honest with you, Chris. I don't care in what sport that you're in, if it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And LSU's strengths this year has certainly been a really, really good pitching staff. And those two aces you brought up and the young pitchers they have behind them, their defense has been outstanding all season long. And it isn't the greatest hitting team, because when you think about LSU, you think about the long ball, sort of gorilla ball. But it's been the timely hitting that's come through at moments that you need it. If you're going to beat Coastal Carolina, those three things have to happen again for you.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what's been so fun about it is it's been different guys. I mean, a couple years ago, it was Tommy Tanks and it was Dylan Cruz and it was the big headliners. I mean, you know, at times it's been Derek Curiel. At times it's been Stephen Milam. Last night it was Bear Jones and Luis Hernandez. So, you know, it's been different guys stepping up at different times. I will say they do need to get the bottom of that order, you know, step up a little bit. You'd love to see Stanfield do a little something more. You'd love to see Braswell. I mean, goodness, man, it's like if you're going to be at the bottom of the order, you got to at least lay down a bunt and help advance some runners at times. But if they could get just a little something extra out of those guys at the bottom of the order, it'll take pressure off of the guys at the top of the order. But, yeah, that's what's just been so fun. It's been different guys every game, it seems like. And you're right. The words, you know, team of destiny, you start to feel that way when everything went LSU's way there in that ninth inning, it seemed like.
One of the guys, too, is Ethan Frye. So I'll ask you about Ethan because he's another guy. He has not been super hot, certainly, with the bat. And so I think he may be a big key here. If this goes three games, that you've got to get him to swing the bat better than what he has over the last, say, week and a half.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, if you want to talk home run totals, I want to say he's number two on the team in home runs behind Bear Jones. So, you know, again, this is a guy that could certainly, you know, when you talk one, two, three, I just, all those guys have to produce. And last night you saw Curiel with two hits. You saw Frye with a hit. Those are the guys that are going to have to produce. And Milam had been hot prior to last night. He did score two runs, but you know, he had been, you know, swinging a good bat, made contact on a couple good balls last night that just were right at somebody. So, yeah, man, I think it's advantage LSU. I mean, all the sports books are probably going to have LSU as the favorite just because of the pitching staff that they have. I was just looking at Carolina and Coastal Carolina, kind of doing a little scouting on them. And obviously, you know, they've got some good arms as well. Some guys that have 100 strikeouts on the year and Jacob Morrison and Cameron Flukie and obviously Riley Eichhoff's pitched very well for them down the stretch. So they're not going to go quietly into the night, but man, if you're an LSU fan, you got to love your chances in having Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson go in game one and two.
We had the Ben McDonald on in the first hour of Sports Talk, and he said that he felt Curiel was the best freshman he has seen at LSU. Would you concur with that thought?
Yeah, I about fell out my chair when I heard, Bill Franca said that earlier this year, and I'm going, in my mind, I'm like, God, Bill has seen
what?
Every player come through Baton Rouge since the 80s. I'm like, Bill, you might want to rethink that, man. Take a little breath, think on it, but It's absolutely proven out to be that way. And you think of all the greats that have come through LSU, the Alex Bregmans and, you know, so on and so forth, Todd Walker, all the big names. What's so interesting about him, Mike, is he's a mature hitter. I mean, he'll work the walk. He'll work a count. He'll wait till you come back in the zone and rip a single the other way. I mean, he's just so disciplined for such a young kid. It's wild to think how much better he's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now. But, look, man, when all the people in the know are telling me, it's one thing for you and I to say it, Mike, but when all the guys who've been around and seen decades of LSU baseball are saying it, then you got to take them for their word.
Yeah, and he didn't say he was the most talented. I think maybe that would fall to Dylan Cruz. But yeah. He said he was the best freshman that he had saw at LSU. And so that is really high praise coming from Big McDonald. And you said Frank has said it too. Man, he has seen a lot of LSU baseball throughout his time frame with LSU. Just real quick before we let you go, Chris, that and it's been kind of hot on the recruiting end football-wise for LSU, where, man, they have had a ton of 4- and 5-star recruits visit over the past couple weeks. And we're getting in that time in late June into early July where you're going to see kind of a flurry of commitments. From what you've heard, how well has been LSU been received by and these things – some of them certainly Louisiana guys, but from outside the state.
Well, yeah, the big one is Lamar Brown that everybody's got their eyes on, who, you know, the report earlier this week was he wasn't going to come visit. Now the report is he is going to come visit. Talking with people on the ground at College Station, they told him, hey, we don't want you to go to Baton Rouge. We want you to stay here. And it's probably still a lean to end up going to Texas A&M, but LSU's going to have their chance to try to make their pitch to him. But, yeah, man, I mean, look at the last week. A&M's been locking up. I mean, 3 or 4 big-name guys committed. They just had another one today, I think one of the top defensive backs in the country. So let it be known that you know, not all their money is still going towards that Jimbo Fisher buyout. There's still some oil money. There's still some oil money left over to pay some players there on campus. So, yeah, A&M's been making some waves, man, and it's been a little bit quiet on LSU's front after picking up that O-lineman, or D-lineman, rather, Emmanuel Tucker.
Yeah.
They need to get some more kids into the fold here quickly.
Chris, from what I understand, you've got now a television show on locally here in New Orleans, correct? Locked On SEC Daily?
Yeah. Yeah, we're airing every day, I believe, at 11:30 on the Gulf Coast Sports Entertainment Network. So kind of cool to be back there in my hometown, not only on the podcast, but also on TV Monday through Friday.
That's awesome. Congratulations to you, Chris. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, buddy. Always appreciate your time and insights.
All right, Mike. See you next week.
All righty. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC. When we return, we'll have on with us Cornelius Lucas, former Edna Carr player, now with the Cleveland Browns. And he's involved with a charity event that we're going to talk about right after this break here on the Big 870.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
WL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former Edna Carr standout, played at Kansas State and has been in the National Football League, most recently with the Cleveland Browns, Cornelius Lucas. Cornelius, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, man, good to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Cornelius. Tell us a little bit about your swim and leadership camp, and I'll throw something in. On the bayou, I'm friends with a guy who has a swimming deal, and they buy life preservers, and he lost a grandson at a very young age. He didn't know how to swim, but, you know, he sees others in the pool, and he wants to go in there, or there's a ball in the pool, and they jump in, and you just turn your back, and there's been some tragic situations. So tell us about a little bit about your swim and leadership camp. And you've teamed up with Son of a Saint organization also, correct?
Yes, sir. So a little backstory. When I was 7 years old, I lost my dad to a swimming accident. We were camping out on the beach, playing in the water. Midday, he went out kind of far and got pulled down by a current.
And that day changed my life forever. You know what I'm saying? Losing my big guy, my leader, my number one guy in my life. And so water has always, like, held a plague over me for a little bit. And one day I was sitting talking to my girlfriend, and she was like, you should do a swim camp. You know what I'm saying? Just to teach others how to swim and basically allow yourself to become more comfortable in the water while teaching others. And so I started doing my research, and then I realized that drowning is like a big leading cause of death for like children that are impoverished because they don't have any resources for pools or swim lessons or anything like that. So I was like, this might be a great idea. So we're going on our third year. I've teamed up with Son of Saint all 3 years. This year we're adding another group of people by the name of the 18th Ward. And we also have Brown Girl Swim coming in to speak and give us some water skills and safety measures that we should practice in the water.
And so this
it's been a blast so far.
Is this going to be held at the Ochsner Performance Training Center on South Clearview Parkway, correct? And it's Thursday and Friday?
Yes, sir. Next week.
So tell if someone wants to get, you know, if it's a son or have their brother or cousin or whatever, tell them exactly how they can get involved with this camp.
Right. So this year I tried to make it open to the public, and I bumped my head every which way I turned, maybe because I waited a little bit too late. So we're gonna drop a survey just to test the waters and see who wants to come, so we can start setting up for next year. Next year is gonna be the big shebang where we basically branch off and get a bigger pool and basically invite everyone that wants to come, anyone that wants to show up. But just this year, it's Son of Saint Kids, and it's 18th Ward. The 18th Ward, they're also bringing kids as well. So last year, we had about 15 kids. This year, we're going to have like 25 to 30. So my mindset is on growth. I grew a little bit this year. Next year is going to be the big year.
Cornelius, we hear so much sometimes about athletes and things that happen off the field that are negative, but I think a lot of times we don't kind of emphasize the good things that you guys do because you want to. And you told us the backstory about losing your dad, and there are so many stories like that that sometimes you feel as though that should be kind of headlined more than what we really do today in the media.
For sure. Usually people only want to talk about the bad stuff, and the headlines are usually bad. But when someone gets up here and tries to teach kids how to swim, you know, interest could be lacking certain ways. But I've also gained a lot of interest from people that are interested in learning how to swim or just interested in my initiative. So it's kind of tenfold.
Cornelius, nothing's a straight road in life, okay? And how you know, got into the National Football League and you've been able to stay there for a certain period of time. And so I think a lot of times people don't realize with athletes that it's just not the easy route. There are a lot of stumbles, but it's the get up. It's the dust off and get up. I think that, to me, is a big part of where – you know, you've had your success, and you've kind of, you know, kind of bounced around the NFL, but you've got a niche, and that's what matters in the long run. Did you always grow up saying, I want to play pro football? Was that something, a dream of yours, real young in life?
Man, not necessarily. I was a late bloomer. I started late. By the grace of God, I met this guy by the name of Jabbar Jalouk at Nassar, he got on me every day, like, man, we ain't gonna come play football. We ain't gonna come out there. And I just got tired of him asking me, and I went out there one day, and the rest is history. But like how you were saying, man, I feel like every year of my 12-year career so far, I've came in through the back door. You know what I'm saying? Like, I came in undrafted, and I just had to fight and claw for every team that I've made, every contract I've made. I feel like going to Cleveland this year was the first time they invited me in through the front door. You know what I'm saying? And welcomed me, and it feels like progress. But also, just being a journeyman that I am and having a niche that I do have of just no one's going to outwork me, That's what really kept me in the league for so long, man. It just keeps me hungry all the time.
Cornelius, one of the things that you have seen is the improvement with your technique overall. We have Mark Schlereff on with us. And, you know, Mark played double-digit seasons in the National Football League. And he was like, you know, one thing I had to get over when I went from college to the pros, every time I lined up, probably 95% of the time, the guy I lined up against, he was a better athlete than me. So I had to be technically sound to beat him on each play. And it is a technique part of the game. We just finished the Louisiana line camp. We had 762 young men, offensive, defensive linemen from around the country, not just in Louisiana, that participated in this. And that's something Pete Jenkins talks about all the time. It's the technique part of the game that if you make it to the pros will give you length of time.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like every time I line up, I'm facing a fire-breathing dragon that is pretty much elite in their athletic capabilities. And all I have to rely on at the end of the day is my length and my technique, staying inside out, knowing when to throw my hands, studying this guy from in and out, knowing how he likes to, what kind of moves he likes to work, where I need to be at in my transitions between the games and how the defense likes to play. Being an offensive lineman, man, it's a lot of studying. It's a lot of work that goes unnoticed. You know what I'm saying? Like with D linemen, they can line up and get shut down for 60 plays out the game. But if they have two sacks, they have a hell of a game. It's the opposite for offensive linemen. We have to ball out every single snap. Or if we give up a sack, we have to shoot again. So, like, those kind of things just keep my head in the book, man, and keep me striving forward just to be better each and every day.
As a veteran, has your training for the upcoming season changed throughout the years? Because I've talked to linemen, it's like, okay, I got a little heavier, I got a little bit maybe lighter weighted, I worked on certain things in the offseason. Has that changed for you throughout your career?
Yeah, just a little bit. I love working out in the Louisiana heat. I feel like that's always kept me with an edge because I'm just slightly just in better condition than anyone that's from up north or something like that. But a little less running, more technique, more purposeful work, just understanding, like, the things that I need to work on, the areas in my game I need to be stronger. And I spend time really dialing those things in, trying to become better at those things. And that's how you legit stay in the league. This league, you can't make the same mistake too many times in a row. You have to be better.
You're unemployed. You're unemployed if you do, right?
You're going to be unemployed if you keep making that same mistake over and over again. So you just have to find ways, and that comes with time, just learning how to critique yourself, be your biggest supporter and your biggest hater at the same time, and just knowing that the work is never done.
You talked about Jabbar Jalukwu. Really was a terrific high school coach, now coaching in the college ranks. And, man, how proud are you to see what Bryce Brown has done at Edna Carr?
Oh, man.
And they looked at as not a good program, as an elite program in high school, not only in Louisiana, but country-wise.
Like, I'm not surprised just because of the brotherhood that I share with Edna Carr and the things that we did growing up playing in that program. I felt like I was a part of laying the foundation for that. And after I left, they took off. And I felt like they've earned every single accolade and every single championship that they've gained. And it's through hard work. It's through brotherhood. It's through genuine people that care about their players' well-being. If it's not in the classroom, if it's on the field, if it's just in life. There's a lot of genuine guys over there that really care, and I think it shows when you talk about the success of the program and how they've taken off.
Tell us one more time again, you involved certainly with Son of Saint, and kind of how this, you know, you brought it out to us about your dad passing away, but if somebody wants to get involved with your swim and leadership camp, how they can get in touch with you and be involved with it. And that camp is going to be next Thursday and Friday, the 26th and 27th.
Yes, sir. So if you want to be involved if you want to offer your services or expertise and whatever, you can reach out to me at my on my Instagram page. It's the CR3 Foundation page. And I'll also be putting out a questionnaire / survey, like I spoke about earlier, to just get a gauge on how many people are going to want to come next year, so I can really open it up and let everybody experience the freedom of knowing how to swim, or at least becoming comfortable in the water.
When you grew up, we talked a lot about LSU baseball and them playing now in the College World Series. Were you a baseball or a basketball player other than football?
Ah, man, that's one of the biggest regrets I have in my career. In high school, I played football, and I got a job because I wanted money in my pocket.
Okay.
But hindsight being 2020, I should have played some basketball because I would have been 10 times better the athlete than I am now. I really believe it. I believe I would have been 10 times better than what I was when I first came up.
Man, at 6'9", and you looking down at a lot of guys too. So I know you'd have had that advantage with your height and your wingspan.
Yeah, shout out to my coach T. Howard, man. He was on me in high school. Like, yeah, come play basketball. But I was focused on having some change in my pocket, man. I wanted to make sure that my family was straight, and wanted to make sure that I was okay.
Hey, you've done great in life, and congratulations on your career. Man, really proud of you and what you've been able to accomplish. I know the road hasn't been a straight line, but you've got it done, and that's what matters at the end.
Yes, sir. Still getting it done.
I appreciate it. Cornelius, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big 870 WWL. Best of luck to you this year and also your camp.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. Cornelius Lucas, former Edna Carr standout offensive lineman, went to Kansas State, was an undrafted free agent. 12 years in the National Football League. How about that, Cullen? That's a pretty good run when you can do anything double digits at the professional level. We'll be back with more sports talk here and our Bet 365 triple option feature. Jeff Nowak will join us right after this break here on the Big 870.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike to tell you, along with Cullen Steele in studio, we're joined by Jeff Nowak on our Bet 365 triple option feature. Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of Coastal Carolina LSU talk over the next few days, and I still can't wrap my head around 27 straight wins. Like that in NCAA Division One baseball, 27 consecutive wins. I don't care what conference you're coming out of. And obviously, they went through the same NCAA tournament bracket, albeit the other side, that LSU did. But I decided to go in and look up, okay, what are the longest winning streaks ever in NCAA Division One history? And you got to go back pretty far. The longest ever, Florida Atlantic in 1999. And then before that, Texas in 1977. They're tied 34 consecutive wins. And then Texas did it again in 1982. They had 33 consecutive wins. So a good run for the Longhorns there in the late 70s, early 80s. And, you know, ideally we won't be talking about this going into next season, but if the Chanticleers sweep LSU, they're going to set a record because they're going to schedule some cupcakes early next season to make sure they get to 35. But that's just why I still can't wrap my hand around it. 27 straight wins. Unless you're the LSU Shreveport, like that's something you don't touch.
Yeah, I was going to say LSU Shreveport. They did pretty well this year with that record, which is nobody's going to catch that one. That man, I think it's 52-0. To what they did, but that is unbelievable ride too for LSU Shreveport. Cullen,
guys, I'm going to also go back in time a little bit, and I mentioned it in the flash earlier. This NBA Finals game that we have tonight, Game 6. Oklahoma City's up 3-2. If they win tonight, they get their title, the start of the SGA era, which some have say has already started, but you win a ring and it's like cemented kind of deal. They only have one title to their name, that franchise. But when they had it, they were under a different name. Back in 1979, they were known as the Seattle Supersonics. So Oklahoma City will, I believe, get their first title in basketball tonight. I'm honestly expecting them to win. What are you guys thinking?
I think OKC finishes it off tonight. Man, listen, I remember 1979 and watched that Seattle Supersonics team win it. And one of the things with them, I think when the NBA expands and adds two teams, Seattle and Las Vegas will get it. And so that Supersonics, I know one thing in Seattle, they ain't pulling for OKC. They could care less about Oklahoma City at this stage, but I think Oklahoma City finishes it off tonight. What a great build by what they've been able to do to accumulate all these young players. It all came together. And for them, that series that they took from Denver, the Nuggets, I think sort of gave them some real titanium in the background. Jeff?
I think the Pacers take it. I mean, home court in Game 6, it's the most hyped a building can possibly get. If there's ever a home court advantage, it is Game 6 of the NBA Finals. You think you're excited for a game, crank it up to 15. The knob only goes to 10, in case you're wondering. And they've cranked it up to 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a Tyrese Halliburton and you're battling through something,
yep,
that's going to help you, right?
And is it?
The crowd, yes. That will help you push through. I don't think
that's going to carry
over to a Game 7.
Yeah.
They're not going to win it in Oklahoma City. But I do think that they find a way tonight. The Pacers are just a team that hits shots. They're a team of role players, and role players play better at home. And so you're going to see guys like Aaron Nesmith. You're going to see guys like Benedict Mathurin knock down a bunch of shots and then get iced out completely in Game 7. But I do think it's going to a Game 7.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you, I know you're a big Celtics fan. How much change you think will happen in Boston in the offseason for the Celtics? And knowing that you got to make some moves here and you're going to be without your star player for a while.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm glad you're not asking me about Devers because that's the painful trade that I don't want to talk about right now. But no, I mean, I don't know how you run it back the way that you were going to. You're going to have to probably move on from Jrue Holiday. They're going to have to probably find a way to move on from Porzingis, who, you know, who's to say he even continues to play? I mean, his illness was basically like he could not play basketball. So I don't know how you look at it and say, like, this core works. I don't think they're going to try to move on from Tatum. I don't think they're going to try to move on from Jaylen Brown. I think however the build is, it's going to include those two guys. I think you're just going to see I think Peyton Pritchard, it's going to be the Peyton Pritchard, Jaylen Brown show next year, and you're going to try to get under the luxury tax and see where it is. I think they're still a playoff team, even without Jason Tatum.
I agree.
But probably not a one seed, probably more of a 4 or 5. I think they'll end up being like the Pacers this year, who don't feel like they have a second star. Like, obviously they have Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, but not like superstar status. Like, they don't have two top 10 NBA players on that team, but they have a lot of really good role players who knock down shots, and they're going to continue to rain threes on people. The question for me is whether they trade Derek White, because I think they could get a haul for Derek White if they tried to trade him.
For my thing is, I think last night's game, you know, there's some memorable moments if you're a fan of a team. And I think last night's ninth inning heroics by LSU, and Arkansas sort of helped you a little bit with that.
A little.
Will kind of stay part of your memory. People ask me all the time about, you know, sports memories. And, you know, I grew up, I was 7 years old when the Saints first started on the kickoff with John Gilliam. And I remember that a little bit, but, you know, for me, winning the NFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl, you know, kind of embedded in your mind, because you never thought that, you know, the team you grew up with, and for 20 years, this team flat on their back and didn't have a winning season, and could get to the Super Bowl. Now, once you got there, then you wanted to win it, you know, because, yeah, getting there was one thing, but Hartley's field goal kind of sticks in your mind, and then certainly Tracy Porter's interception on Super Bowl Sunday to kind of seal the deal for him. But I think last night's win for LSU baseball, that is going to go down in lore for a lot of people, that ninth inning and kind of how it played out. It's not the win-all, you know, because that is going to happen over the weekend and quite possibly fall into Monday. But how it ended, memorable, heroic, man, that sticks in your head about how that game is. You couldn't write a script like that.
You know, Mike, Kim
if
Mulkey,
you were a movie writer.
Kim Mulkey has said this, and I agree with her. Like, to win a title in any sport, you need a lucky bounce somewhere. You need something to break your way. And it just feels like that's what that game was. It was, you know, every run to a championship, you look back and be like, they could have lost it there, but something happened. And that's when you feel like, okay, this is destined to end in a championship, is when you start getting games like that. So I just thought that's what I was thinking of when that game ended last night.
Because I remember for the NFC Championship game in regulation, Brett Favre rolls out. Now, if he'd have took off running,
he gets there.
He could have got himself at least 10 yards, set himself up for a field goal, but Brett doing what Brett normally does, throws it across the middle and gets picked off by Porter. Had he run with that football, basically that game's sort of over with, because it really sets up a very makeable field goal for the Vikings and sort of ends it for the Saints. But that – what Brett normally sometimes would do in critical spots, and where he's a great player, but he always took chances, sort of sticks out. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Nowak, also Cullen Steele. Want to thank certainly Ben McDonald for joining us in our number one, Chris Gordy, and from Locked On SEC, and Cornelius Lucas, NFL offensive tackle, 12 years in the National Football League, having his swim and leadership camp next Thursday and Friday. Jeff, when you play a team that's pressing the 30 wins in a row mark, you're doing something pretty well. So I know from 6 to 8, a lot of LSU Coastal Carolina talk.
No question. The 7 o'clock hour, 7:25, we're going to have Steven Bidek. He's a correspondent for the Omaha World Herald, but he is stringing for the Sun News in Myrtle Beach, covering Coastal Carolina out in Omaha. Fun fact, the Sun News in Myrtle Beach is where I used to work before coming
to
New Orleans.
I didn't realize
yeah, well,
that.
I was originally trying to find whoever they had covering it, but they don't have anyone covering it. They're using Steven Bidek, so we ended up with him. But he'll give us some great insight into what all has gone on since they've gotten out to Omaha. So looking forward to chatting with him. And also in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have Will Guillory, NBA writer for The Athletic, to give us a preview of the Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And, yeah, everywhere in between, we'll have LSU talk. We're going to hear from Jared Jones, Zach Cowan, Jay Johnson, what they had to say after last night's epic win. Jared Jones on the field was fun to watch. He was just in shock, and I think a lot of people were in shock after that game. So
Jay Johnson also.
Yeah,
he looked to be in shock. Like, what, this really happened in front of me? Also, too, next week, the NBA draft. Man, you think about it, the season ends and bang. The draft happens, you know, just days afterwards.
They don't waste any time.
Not a lot of time left before we get to see what the Pelicans and Joe Dumars will do with those two first-round picks, which I think he'll team up and try to get one player a little bit higher than where they pick. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.